thank you and welcome. Glad you all came out tonight, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you, talking about one of my favorite topics, spices, and working in the kitchen with Ayurveda. So as Ariana stated, I have a practice here in Asheville over in the Grovewood Village, and I'm also the co-owner of a yoga studio called Iyengar Yoga Asheville. If you want to track me down, there's my information there. All right, so first of all, before we get going talking about spices tonight, let's get a little bit of a basic understanding here about Ayurveda so that you can understand some of the terminology and language that I'm using. I'm not going to go into a lot of depth, but I am going to be using some words that pertain specifically to Ayurveda, so I just want to make sure that I give you some preparation for that. So first of all, before coming here tonight, who in this room had ever even heard about Ayurveda? Okay, cool. So it is Asheville. Great! Sometimes elsewhere, the response is a little bit different. Excellent. And who in this room has ever, let's say, had an Ayurvedic treatment or Ayurvedic consultation? Okay, all right. So a little basic understanding here about Ayurveda. You've all heard about it, which is great, but let's get into to some of the more of the details. So if you break down the literal translation of Ayurveda, you can break it down into two root words, Ayus meaning life and Veda meaning knowledge. So literally translated, Ayurveda means the knowledge of life or the science of life. It is, as you probably know, a traditional medicine, a traditional healing system coming out of India and the Vedic culture. It is also a complete holistic healing system. So it addresses all aspects of the self. So Ayurvedic practitioners don't only work with physical symptoms or physicality and physiology. They also work with the emotional body, the subtle body. They look at how you're living your life, the choices you're making on a daily basis, and really take into account everything you're doing, everything you're taking in, and how that's affecting your health and wellness. Ayurveda is also based on this important principle, and that is that our bodies have an amazing ability to self-heal. So that's kind of an interesting concept to think about for a moment. So if you think about, you know, I know there are exceptions, but like typically if you give yourself a little cut, you don't have to tell your flesh, your skin to knit back together, right? There's this innate capacity, this innate tendency within our bodies to seek homeostasis, to seek balance. And Ayurveda bases much of its work upon that really our bodies are seeking that homeostasis, and that by better understanding ourselves, our constitution, our nature, we can give ourselves the tools for our bodies to find that balance, to regain balance again, and then kind of work out some of the different symptoms and issues that one may be facing. So Ayurveda optimizes your body's ability to find balance and essentially to self-heal. All right, also, Ayurveda is highly individualized, so it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all system. So that's why, you know, I do private consultations in my Ayurveda practice, and that's why when I do an intake on somebody, I'm spending really in sum, it's a two-part intake, so it's really a few hours, you know, really I'm spending several hours because I'm working on their file as well with that person just to do their intake. So just to look at their constitution, look at their prakriti, their current state, their vikriti, what's out of balance, really give them the knowledge that they need to be able to move forward and take some steps toward wellness. So this is kind of an important, on that note, this is a sort of interesting aphorism that one of my teachers gave me when I was in training. This first one here, everything is right for someone, nothing is right for everyone. So that's kind of an interesting one to let settle in. And, you know, of course, we don't need to, you know, speak in hyperbole. There are exceptions. Yes, we all need water, right? But, you know, when we start looking at, like, the spices, the foods, the herbs, what's best for an individual, it's not going to be one size fits all. So, for instance, raw vegetables could be great for one person. Somebody else may need to really stick with cooked, browning, warm, moist, oily food. So that comes into play because tonight we're going to be looking a little bit at the energetics of the spices and looking at, you know, how this can become a little bit nuanced. Another really important teaching of Ayurveda is that digestion is the physical root of all health imbalances. So that's another kind of, maybe in some ways, radical concept. Ayurveda teaches that digestion is really at the core of health and health imbalances, as well as the mind too. So our thought patterns, also the emotional body, that when those things start to go out of balance, they're essentially going to lead to greater troubles down the road. So Ayurveda teaches that basically balanced digestion leads to balanced health, that it all kind of comes back to the gut and starts there. And I think, you know, some of you who are maybe up on some of the recent research around gut health and the microbiome, which I'm not getting into detail about tonight, will kind of recognize this concept and how this is coming to surface in modern science as well, how that importance on digestion and the microbes and the bacteria within us, how that really impacts our entire health. I'd like to share this quote from the Karak Samhita, which is one of our classical Ayurvedic texts. So it's a quote about food. Taken in appropriate quantity, food certainly helps the individual in bringing about strength, complexion, happiness, and longevity. So it's not just what we're eating, but it's also the amount, how we're eating it. And then from David Frawley, who's an Ayurvedic practitioner, also scholar, most diseases arise from poor or wrong functioning of the digestive system. The digestive fire, Agni, is central to health. All right, so let's back up for a second here. So we're going to get more into, obviously, spices and digestion and how they impact our digestion in a moment. But first, let's just go over some basic terminology here. So Ayurveda is based on the five-element paradigm, and that is that all things in nature, you, me, the spices we're eating, herbs we might take, the foods we're eating, even smells and colors, all of these things are made out of a combination, some combination of the five elements. Of course, these five elements are real, so we all know these things exist in nature. In addition, these five elements represent qualities. So qualities within us, qualities within the world that we're taking in around us. Earth represents solidity and stability, and some of the qualities of earth are thick, dense, heavy, solid, hard, and stable. Water represents receptivity and flow. Some of the qualities of water are that it's fluid, heavy, wet, soft, cool, and moist. Fire represents illumination and transformation. Some of the qualities of fire are that it's hot, sharp, intense, penetrating, and luminous. Air represents motion. Some of the qualities of air are light, dry, clear, rough, and erratic. And then ether is really the great container for the other elements. So it's empty space. It also represents possibility and connection. And some of its qualities are expansive, light, subtle, and infinite. Okay, so since you all, or everybody in the room before, had all heard of Ayurveda, have you heard of the three doshas, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha? Yes? Raise your hand if you'd ever heard of Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Okay, so most people in the room. Okay, so just so we're all kind of on the same page here, those five elements then combine to make our three doshas, which are, you can view these as like constitutional types or mind-body types. I also like to think about them as like forces within us. So we have our natural constitution that we're born into this world with, and then our constitution can kind of shift, or our current state, our vikriti, can actually kind of shift based upon our lifestyle choices, our stage of life, the seasons, what's going on around us. So these three doshas are made of the five elements. So water and earth combine to make Kapha dosha, and Kapha dosha is kind of more cool in nature. Water and fire combine to make Pitta dosha, and Pitta dosha is more hot in nature. Air and ether combine to make Vata, and Vata is more cold nature. So these kind of cool, hot qualities become important when we start talking about the spices and whether they're cooling or warming. We each possess a unique balance of these three doshas. So we all have Vata, Pitta, Kapha, these elements, these qualities within us. It's really just a matter of what is the balance that we have within us, right? So some people can be very Kapha-like, so maybe they tend to be a little bit more solid build, maybe a little bit more methodical, a little cooler in body temperature, cooler tempered. Some people are more Pitta, so maybe a little bit more fiery, sharp, kind of competitive, driven. And some people are a little more Vata, so like lighter frame, maybe a little bit more, you know, vast imagination, kind of creative, liking movement. So we all have these within us to some extent. It really just depends on what sort of balance. Also, I want to say, if this is not making sense to you, don't worry. You're still going to learn a lot about spices and their amazing healing benefits. I just wanted to make some reference to these terms because I am going to reference them when I talk about the spices. But that could be a whole other talk easily. All right, so let's get into the spices. So why I'm talking about spices tonight is not only are they colorful and delicious, but they also have amazing healing benefits. So spices do a number of things. They boost and balance our digestion. So it's, you know, if you go back to digestion as being the root of illness or the root of health, we can work with spices to help balance and boost our digestive fire, which is going to be key to our overall health. They are also one of the most nutritionally dense foods. So aside from organ meats, they're up there. So I'm vegetarian personally. I don't know about you, but I would personally rather eat some cinnamon than liver. But anyway, your choice. But they're definitely up there in terms of nutritional content. Also, spices improve the flavor of food, you know, and their aromatic qualities help increase our appetite by communicating with all the olfactory, you know, our sense of smell, the olfactories. Also, most spices have benefits even beyond boosting digestion. So it's not just about digestive fire, but also many of the spices have antimicrobial qualities, you know, antifungal qualities, antiviral, anti-inflammatory qualities as well. And in terms of the energetics, we'll kind of look at how they can impact us and kind of be cooling or warming or have a calming effect or a stimulating effect. All right, so this list could easily have tripled when I was looking at my spice cabinet, but in interest of time, we only have an hour tonight, so we're just going to talk about 9 spices. So if, you know, if you're just starting to stock up on your kitchen spices, or if these are spices you already have in stock and you just want to learn a little bit about them, this is a nice kind of short list to begin with. So we're going to talk about turmeric, ginger, cinnamon, cumin, fenugreek, cardamom, cardamom, coriander, saffron, and black pepper. Oh, by the way, of these spices, I'm not sure how to ask this question, but I guess, are there any spices... you could nod or raise your hand or something. Are there any spices in here that you have like never cooked with or never used, or you're not even sure what they are? Saffron. Okay. Okay, great. Okay, great. I saw another hand somewhere. Okay, excellent. All right, great. And you know, even so, we'll have some new ones then for you to explore tonight. And then even if you do work with these, hopefully you'll get a better understanding now about what these spices can possibly do for you. And hopefully you'll be encouraged to use these spices more on a daily basis. Because it's really all about what you're doing on a daily basis, you know, your regular routine, not just what you do every once in a while. All right, so our first recipe, by the way, I do have a few recipe handouts here on the table if you wanna grab some when you go. Also, you can always take a picture or you can always email me and I can send you the recipes as well. Okay, sure, yeah. And I don't know if we actually have enough for everybody, but... Okay, perfect, yeah. Okay, so we can get these to you. But anyway, so our first recipe we'll start out with here is golden milk. Has anybody here ever had golden milk? Okay, cool. So it's like a nice, warm, you know, turmeric milk, basically. And there are a number of ways you can make it. This is the way that I like to do it. So basically, it's a pretty simple recipe. So if you're not kind of pro in the kitchen, it's a good place to start. So basically, you're just going to start off with a saucepan and a cup of milk. Some kind of fatty milk is preferable. So I just do whole organic cow's milk. That's what works for me. But you could do goat's milk. You could do oat milk. You could do almond milk, coconut milk. You just want it to have a little bit of fat because that actually, or maybe even a lot of fat, because that actually helps you absorb the turmeric. So turmeric needs lipid, it needs fats, and also a little bit of black pepper helps for you to actually be able to make full use of it. It increases the bioavailability of turmeric. So basically, you take that milk, put it in a saucepan, add, you know, depending on your taste, a little bit of turmeric, maybe a quarter teaspoon to half a teaspoon. I recommend using the dried turmeric powder for this. And then you can add some other spices as well. So maybe a dash of cinnamon, a little pinch of cardamom. And I think for this, the fresh ground cardamom works a little bit better than the whole pods. Also a little bit of black pepper to help with that absorption of the turmeric, and it gives it a little bit of warmth too. And then optionally, you know, you could add a little bit of, like a teaspoon of ghee or some coconut oil, so it adds a little more creaminess, a little bit more fattiness, and then again, just helping with that absorption and bioavailability of the turmeric. And then if you do work with some other herbs and have some familiarity there, you could even throw in, like I like to put in a little bit of ashwagandha root, which is a wonderful adaptogen. It helps with our stress response and has a number of other great health benefits as well. So you can always throw a little bit of that in as well. So basically, you're going to bring that just to the edge of boiling. When your mixture comes like to the edge of boiling, turn it off, put it in a mug, stir it up really well. You can even use a little, you know, little frother if you have one of those. And then you can sweeten with a little bit of honey or maple syrup. So pretty simple. But if you're kind of new to working with spices, this can be a nice way to get started. And, you know, you don't even have to put everything in there also. Also, some things that you can add to this, you can add like a little pinch of saffron. So saffron we'll be talking about later, and that's a wonderful, really aromatic spice. It is rather spendy, but you only need to use a tiny, tiny bit of it. So a little saffron on top is lovely. You can also do some fresh ground nutmeg, which assists in sleep as well. So don't do nutmeg in the morning. All right, so let's take a breakdown now of some of the spices in this golden milk recipe. So number one is turmeric, which is kind of the chief ingredient. Turmeric has definitely become kind of trendy lately, and I would say for good reason. So turmeric has been used for, I don't know, probably thousands of years in Ayurveda as medicine. It is traditionally used as a blood cleanser, and it's also great for gut health and mental health and really a number of other things. I saw, it was one of my colleagues, it was, you know, maybe a couple years ago, but I still remember it. She posted this meme, and it was like, I've got 99 problems, but turmeric solved like 86 of them. So it's true. It does a lot. It is warming in nature, so it helps pacify vata and kapha doshas, if you have some familiarity there. We talked about the doshas earlier. It can aggravate pitta when taken in excess. I wouldn't be too concerned about it, but if somebody really was a very strong pitta and had a lot of heat issues, it might be something to be cautious of, or you might want to balance it out with some more kind of cooling foods or cooling spices. So in terms of its anti-inflammatory properties, there have been many, many, I don't know how many, but multiple studies that have shown turmeric to be as effective as prescription anti-inflammatories. So one study showed that 1,500 milligrams per day of turmeric extract was as effective as 1,200 milligrams ibuprofen at alleviating knee pain. And also, of course, the beauty is far fewer side effects, so you're also getting health benefits along with working with your symptoms. In terms of mental health, there is some interesting research going on with turmeric and mental health, especially degenerative disorders. So there is some research that indicates that it may help remove some of the plaques that grow in the brain that are associated with Alzheimer's. Also, anytime, you know, I think the other thing that we're discovering is that so many illnesses are related, come out of inflammation, right? So anytime that you can help manage inflammation, you then have the capacity to prevent a lot of imbalances from happening down the road. Also, turmeric is used quite a bit. There's a lot of research, you know, more than 1,000 studies to show it to be an effective cancer fighter. So both in inhibiting the growth and the spread of cancer cells. So I definitely recommend, you know, people are kind of starting to supplement with turmeric more, which I think is fine. And certainly if you are working with, you know, kind of an acute situation, obviously, you know, seek help from a practitioner or a doctor and get advice about how you want to work with that with supplementation. You know, supplementing and taking high doses of spices certainly can be the right thing, or taking extracts. But, you know, also I guess what I want to encourage you to do is also be working with these spices on a daily basis. So don't just wait till things get really out of control. You know, you have to take it as a pill, but start working with these things all the time on a daily basis. And, you know, if supplementation is needed, then that's okay too. If you are looking for a supplement, this is one that I do like, just because it is prepared in a way that your body can absorb it pretty well. It's the New Chapter Turmeric Force. And there are other good ones out there too. This is just one that I would recommend. Yeah, I mean, it definitely can address inflammation universally. Yeah. All right, so let's look at cardamom now. Cardamom is also a warming spice, but you know, it's pretty suitable for pitta type, so it's not gonna overheat you. Again, like turmeric, you know, just don't go crazy with it. Cardamom works on the digestive, circulatory systems, and also the nervous system. Cardamom is definitely one of my favorites, and that it is wonderfully aromatic. So it's known in Ayurveda for sort of having this capacity to kind of open your mind and open your senses. So I definitely, it's one that I put in my chai in the morning. I do like a masala tea, a spiced tea every morning, and it's actually the last ingredient that I put in because it is so aromatic. And you don't want to, with some of the aromatic spices, you know, you don't want to overcook them because it kind of ruins the aroma. So it does have this wonderful capacity to sort of sharpen, rejuvenate the mind. It also has wonderful digestive benefits. So it's considered to be a carminative, which is a term used in herbalism, to essentially express that it helps to aid digestion, kind of soothe excess gas, help with the assimilation of foods. So that's really a big reason why we're using spices in general, is that they help fuel your digestive fire and really help with the assimilation of your foods. Because you can be eating wonderful foods, right? But if you're not digesting those foods well, then, you know, you're not making the most of what you're taking in. Also, another fun thing about cardamom is that when you get the little pods like this, you know, sometimes you can chew, you can use it as like an after meal kind of breath freshener, right? So you can chew some cardamom pods to kind of freshen your breath, sort of like how you chew on fennel seeds. And also, this is another interesting thing about cardamom, is that it can help a little bit with a sweet craving. So it communicates in a similar way as sugar does with the dopamine receptors in your brain. So sometimes if you have a little sweet craving after a meal, chewing on a little cardamom can help with that. Oh, also something I love about cardamom is that it does help you digest kind of heavier dairy products as well. So like milk, maybe ice cream. I like to put a little cardamom on my ice cream. So it's nice in that way. It really helps fuel that digestive fire. I usually do the fresh ground. If I'm putting it on like a yogurt or an ice cream or a milk, I'll get like the ground cardamom and put it on there. I mean, you could do the pods, but then I would just kind of mash it up a little bit, like with a mortar and pestle. So yeah, because if you're eating the pods, like if you're kind of doing it as like a after meal thing to chew on, they work well. But if you're putting it in your food, you want to kind of break it up a little bit, you know, pound it down a little bit. All right, cinnamon. So cinnamon is, I feel sorry for pittas here because I feel like every spice is pitta increasing. We do have a few, though, that are good for pittas. And I also want to say, even if you do run on the warmer side, if you have more of what we call pitta dosha, it doesn't mean you can't eat spices or you can't have these spices. It just means that you want to watch out for like the super duper hot spices, and it means, you know, moderation, and maybe also having a diet that's a little bit more cooling. So if you're taking more aloe, salads, greens, and some of these spices, you're fine. Anyway, so cinnamon is traditionally used in Ayurveda as a digestive. It's also a wonderful antimicrobial. And it is classically used in Ayurveda and in herbalism to increase circulation. So in terms of its antibacterial, antifungal properties, there was one study in particular that looked at it as being effective in terms of treating, reducing a candida infection of the mouth. So it can be used in that way to work as an antifungal. It's also, like turmeric, a wonderful anti-inflammatory. It also really helps with blood sugar balance and kind of metabolic issues, you know, circulatory issues as well. So there are some studies being done around how cinnamon may help with polycystic ovary syndrome, and how, because that kind of links in with some of these, with some insulin resistance and some of these kind of metabolic disorders, metabolic imbalances. So if, so it can help basically with some of these metabolic disorders. Also, it possesses blood thinning properties. So that's probably a big reason why it helps with circulation. It's also considered to be quite warming as well. And kind of like cardamom, it can assist in the digestion of heavy foods, dairy, you know, potatoes, even like starches. It's a little bit stimulating. I wouldn't worry about it too much, you know, unless you're really prone in that way and taking it in high doses. You know, it is a little bit stimulating. I definitely have it later in the day and it doesn't keep me up. But, you know, if somebody's very sensitive in that way, then it might be, sure, yeah, might be something to look out for. All right, black pepper. So black pepper is heating. So cinnamon, turmeric, cardamom, they're kind of warming. Now, black pepper is definitely a hot spice. So this is the pittas beware, you know, tiny, tiny bit maybe, just to help you absorb your turmeric. Black pepper has an interesting name in Sanskrit. So its name in Sanskrit is maricha, and that can be broken down into two root words, mara, that which destroys, and icha, impurities. So that which destroys impurities. That name maricha is also one of the names, a Sanskrit name for the sun. So there's this connection between black pepper, you know, that heat, the fire, the agni, the digestive fire, and the sun, and that ability to kind of destroy impurities. Because really, the stronger our digestive system is, the better job we can do at kind of getting rid of what we need to get rid of, absorbing what we need to absorb, and getting rid of, you know, metabolic waste in our system. Black pepper stimulates the appetite. So for people who have maybe a little bit of sluggish digestion, maybe lack appetite, or have an irregular, kind of erratic appetite, it can be helpful. It also helps, as I said, kind of destroy what we call ama in Ayurveda. Has anybody heard that term ama before? Okay, so that's more if you're getting into the, like if you're working with a practitioner or getting into the depths of Ayurveda, you'll hear this word ama. It's essentially metabolic waste or undigested food matter, like sludge in our system. So black pepper helps destroy that. It can be a little bit drying. So for people who run on the dry side, combining with maybe some licorice, marshmallow root, some more moist herbs and spices can just help balance that out. And it can also help relieve congestion and balance cold raw foods. So put a little black pepper on your salad to help with your digestion. All right, saffron. Somebody asked about saffron. So saffron is tridoshic, meaning that it kind of is harmonious for all the three doshas. It's not going to throw anyone out of balance. It's an excellent blood cleanser. It also has been shown to have to be helpful in uplifting the mood. So it may have some impact on our serotonin levels, which is probably why I feel so happy when I smell saffron. And also traditionally in Ayurveda, it was actually used to help more with sexual debility, sexual dysfunction. All right, I'm going to move a little faster through some of these because we're actually getting closer to the time here. But remember that we can share all these recipes with you. So I'm not going to go over the recipes in detail, but they are available to you. So now we're looking at this savory vegetable recipe here that uses some more spices. I tried to choose recipes that were not too complicated to work with. All right, so let's look at cumin, which is one of the ingredients in the cabbage sabji recipe that you just saw. Cumin is a great one because, like saffron, it's tridoshic. So it's not going to throw any one constitutional type too out of whack. It's kind of a nice middle-of-the-road cooling spice. It enkindles our digestive fire, our agni, without causing acidity or aggravating pitta dosha. So it's a nice sort of cooling spice, soothing spice for the digestive system. It's also helpful with supporting a healthy urinary system. And there has been some indication that it may even help with bone density as well. It's another one that I like to use kind of like after a meal, kind of you can chew on some cumin seeds to kind of cleanse your palate and refresh your mouth. So sort of like fennel or cardamom, it's a nice sort of after meal digestive.
And also the great thing about cumin is it's also a very wonderful, versatile cooking spice. So if you're not super into Indian food, it's definitely used in other cuisines as well. All right, fenugreek, I definitely wanted to get to because I know that there were some folks who are new to fenugreek. And you can work with fenugreek as a seed. I actually like to use the leaves. I use dried fenugreek leaves. I think that we purchase ours from the International Food Market, but they might have them at the French Broad Food Co-op. Anyway, so you can use the seeds, you can use the ground powder, you can use the leaves. Fenugreek, also, really like most of the spices, does help boost the digestive fire. But also, I'm going to skip down to this point at the bottom here. This is really key. It is an excellent spice for blood sugar balance. So a good one to be taking regularly, you know, cooking with on a regular basis, putting it in your soups, putting it in your curries to help maintain good metabolic health and good blood sugar balance over time. And so there have been more than 100 studies that show that fenugreek helps regulate blood sugar and metabolic imbalances. And there are other purposes for it as well, as you can see. All right, coriander. Coriander, I kind of classify a little bit with cumin. It's another, and it sort of pairs well with cumin in cooking. So it's another just really lovely, sort of middle of the road. It's cooling. It's not going to throw anybody off balance too much. It's a just sort of cool, soothing digestive. There's a classic tea in Ayurveda called cumin coriander fennel tea, and that's a tea that's made of the cumin coriander fennel seeds. It's taken often as a cleanse, and also it helps to not only balance the digestive fire, so if somebody has like hyperacidity, it can help. It can also balance sluggish digestion, but also it helps support a healthy urinary system. And also, coriander essential oil has been shown to have antifungal and antibacterial effects. So it can be used like for things like athlete's foot. All right, let's talk now about cookies. So sun butter cookies, this is an original recipe of mine, and it is a great vehicle for spice. I have even been known to have put some like ashwagandha and other adaptogens, powdered adaptogens in there as well, like some Eleuthero if you're familiar with these. So it's a super simple recipe. Basically, it's just made of sunflower butter, or you can use really any nut or seed butter. Eggs, coconut sugar, you could use another type of sugar too, but this is my preference. And then you just use a little bit of dried ginger, cinnamon, cardamom, and I would do powdered root of all of these. Don't put any seeds in there. And then I like to do a little molasses too. Super easy to make. They're actually flourless. You just combine all the ingredients, put them on the cookie sheet, and bake for really only 8 minutes at 350 degrees. And they are like delicious little nut patties. You can throw some chocolate chips in there as well. Yeah, good with little chocolate chips. But honestly, you'd be surprised. They're delicious on their own.
How many cookies would that make?
Maybe like 2 dozen-ish. Yeah. All right, so one of the spices that I feel like I couldn't give this talk without mentioning is ginger. So ginger is traditionally used to alleviate indigestion, heartburn, and also constipation. It's also a wonderful circulatory tonic, so it helps with circulation as well. And it's a great one with working with digestive issues, because for people who do have sort of sluggish digestion, it's not a laxative, but it does sort of just gently help increase peristalsis. So sort of wave-like contractions of the GI tract, it'll just help kind of encourage that to happen in a natural way, which could help if people have sluggish digestion, constipation, or even nausea, because a lot of times nausea is things not moving down properly as they should. Another reason why it helps with nausea is that it actually suppresses the vomit center in our brain. So I had a client once who suffered from motion sickness, and she was going out on a boat and didn't want to take the medication that she normally took. And she was like, you know, I'm just going to try, I'll bring the meds, but I'm just going to try taking some really strong ginger tea with a little bit of black pepper. And actually, it did work for her. So it's a helpful one if you get travel motion sickness. Also, it's another really excellent anti-inflammatory. So you can see some data there from a summary there from a study where we compared ginger with I don't know what it was compared with, but with some kind of placebo, probably some kind of prescription anti-inflammatory. Yeah, so it's a helpful one for reducing joint pain, premenstrual pain, and also exercise-induced muscle pain. So another good anti-inflammatory. And there are a lot of great ways to use ginger. So it's also very versatile. You know, you can grate it fresh and make ginger tea. You can also use the powdered ginger and put it in like your savory vegetable dishes and soups. You can make ginger soup. So it's definitely a highly versatile spice and a really great one to keep in stock. And it adds a little warmth without overheating. That's something that I like, that it's not, it is warming, but it's not overly stimulating. Now the fresh ginger is actually more, is actually considered to be a little bit more mild than the ground powdered dried ginger. So the dried ginger is actually considered to be more heating and stimulating, whereas the fresh powdered ginger is actually considered to be more tonifying and nourishing. So that's kind of a good distinction if you're getting into the finer points. All right, so some concluding thoughts here. I really encourage you, hopefully you've taken away some fresh knowledge, some fresh inspiration here for working with spices, either bringing something new into your kitchen or just gaining a greater appreciation for the spices that you may already be working with. I definitely encourage you to really, as I mentioned before, like really use these spices on a regular basis. Make them a part of your daily routine. You know, if you're not used to working with them, stock up on even start small. Grab 3 new spices, put them in plain sight, and just start working with them on a daily basis. So, you know, some ideas, you can make a spice tea, you can add spices to even your smoothies, your oatmeal, your salads, meat and veggie dishes. And like I said, you know, just start working with them, have them in plain view. Our greatest assets here, these wonderful healing, you know, foods are really right here in our kitchen. So let's start working with them more. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. And these are some more resources if you're looking for some more recipes or just information on spices. Here's a few great books that I use for cooking and for other information. And if you want to reach me, that's how you get a hold of me. Is there time for questions? Okay, anytime, questions, yeah.
If I were to use the turmeric as a substitute for pain meds, how do you digest it? Let's say I bought the root raw, grated it. How does the gut treat that if you take it just as straight grated turmeric?
Again, I would recommend, you know, I mean, obviously, anytime you're treating an issue, always, you know, I can't give health advice per se here, but, you know, obviously seek professional advice, you know, for specific health issues. But you definitely still would want to combine it with some kind of lipid, some kind of a little bit of black pepper. So you're just doing the plain root like that, if you juice it, it's going to be a little bit more absorbable for you. But like just like ginger root, turmeric root isn't that very bioavailable to your body. So that's why cooking with it or taking it, if you're taking it as a supplement, you know, taking it in a way that's prepared to make it more digestible is better. A tea would be better, yeah. Yeah, and again, a little bit of fat helps too. Yeah, yeah. Any other questions?
Acidity, you mentioned acidity.
Yeah, that is interesting. I know it did come up a couple times. So one of the things is that when we're looking at digestive health and digestive balance, if Ayurveda considers that if the digestive system becomes, one symptom of the digestive system becoming overheated is that you start getting burning indigestion or acidity, right? And so when we're looking at sort of increasing that digestive fire, you don't want to increase it so much that you're causing like a hyperacidity. So when I'm talking about coriander, cumin as being digestive stimulants but not causing hyperacidity, you know, basically I'm saying that they're going to boost the digestive fire, but they're not going to overheat it. So there are certain constitutional types that may be more prone to certain types of digestive ailments than others over others, So, you know, we're always kind of looking at the health of the digestive system and the balance there. And if things are sluggish, or if somebody's experiencing constipation, or if somebody has hyperacidity, or, you know, acid regurgitation, like, these are all kind of early signs that we're looking at that are indicators that something may be off a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to cinnamon, true cinnamon, Ceylon cinnamon, as opposed to the one you just go grab off the shelf and corn. Because isn't the regular one that's just on the shelf at the grocery store, isn't that bad for your liver?
It is in very high doses. Yeah, so there is a risk in high doses. You know, if you're supplementing, I would take true cinnamon. If you're just cooking with it, the two actually do have most of the same health benefits.
Okay.
But in higher doses, yeah, you would want to go with true cinnamon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is your go-to source for good quality?
Spices?
Yeah.
The French Broad Food Co-op.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Yeah, they're great. Yeah, I mean, they've got good quality, and you can get it, you know, seeds in seed form and whole form. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions?
So,
yeah. You know, Ayurveda comes out of India, and Indian cuisine definitely tends to be pretty big on dairy. Okay? So Ayurveda definitely views milk as actually being very nourishing, whole milk, especially ghee, as being very nourishing and building what we call ojas, which is kind of our immunity, our resilience, our protective force. However, there are some, you know, kind of how dairy is now obviously is a little bit different than how dairy is produced here is obviously a little bit different than how dairy is produced in India. So more people are, you know, seeming to develop challenges developing dairy here. So if, you know, so it's kind of like, yeah, classically dairy is wonderful. Obviously dairy has changed a little bit, sort of that there's a kind of lost in translation piece. You know, some people still digest dairy fine. I am one of those people. However, I don't tend to do like cold, you know, I thought you said cold. I don't tend to do cold milk. Definitely heating up milk, heating up, having dairy that's more room temperature or warm, adding some digestive spices definitely helps. So a lot of it is kind of how you prepare it. Sometimes people who don't digest dairy well, but then warm their milk up and add some spices, you know, may find that actually it's not so bad. Yeah, there's whole, and it's even like a different species of cow, so there are big differences. That's, yeah. So, you know, that's one thing about Ayurveda is that we do have to adapt with the time and with what's available to us, and that sometimes things that were done in India thousands of years ago had wisdom, but obviously we have different resources available to us now. So you can take those principles, but then sort of readapt them to the times and what's available. So, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Yeah, anytime, as long as it's kind of fatty and creamy, it's fine. Yeah. Yeah, and you'll still get those good. I mean, a coconut is another good sort of ojas building nourishing food. So, yeah, fat. Yeah.
The fat is good because it actually is an agent, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That is actually a good piece, is that so a lot of Ayurvedic formulas are prepared oftentimes in ghee. So you can actually get like an ashwagandha ghee or a triphala ghee, like herbal ghees, and that's because the fat is considered to be a delivery system. It actually helps take these spices, these herbs, kind of deeper into our cells because our cells like fat. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I did an experiment. I've been taking turmeric for several years, and I stopped taking it in November just to see if there was a difference, and the difference showed up this month in swelling in my knees and some pain.
Mm-hmm.
I dance 4 or 5 times a week,
mm-hmm.
and I've noticed a difference, so I'm going back on the turmeric. I just wanted to see if
right.
it was helping me, and it actually was.
Well, there we go. There's our testimonial here.
How are you using the turmeric?
Well, I'm a cook, so
mm-hmm.
I put turmeric in everything,
mm-hmm.
just about. I put it in my bone broth. I put it in my cornbread, if I ever make cornbread, which is rare. But I just put it in everything. I put it in my salad dressings,
mm-hmm.
and I also take it
Mm-hmm.
capital form, because I was taking
mm-hmm.
a lot, and
mm-hmm.
it was hard to be able to eat it all.
Yeah.
So, but I put it in yogurt,
mm-hmm.
poured over, you know,
mm-hmm.
tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Really, I love love it.
Yeah.
Spice.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is interesting, I think, with a lot of the Ayurvedic herbs and spices, it's like, you know, because it's not like taking a prescription where you notice sometimes this dramatic difference, that it takes time, that we have to digest these foods. You know, it has to get into your system, into your bloodstream, and go into your deeper tissues. So sometimes it takes time, but then sometimes when you stop, then it's like you notice.
It took time for me, it took like 4 months, 5 months for me to see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
There is
mm-hmm.
a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
It works.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Any other concluding questions or thoughts? All right. Well, thank you so much.